Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, April 21, 2024. Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this morning is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, I want to thank those of you who came yesterday for the Upland Bible Church Work Day. You were awesome, and some of you came just to eat the donuts, but that was all right. You know. But a lot of work was done. It has to be around the church in the spring. We do our work day in the spring, and y'all were fantastic. There was a lot done, and I certainly thank you very much, because otherwise I'd had to gone out there and do it all, and I'd still be out there. So thank you very much. Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 6, we studied the wonderful doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial. Current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session, and went through that in great detail in Romans chapter 6. Now, the Apostle Paul is illustrating that marvelous doctrine in Romans chapter 7, and he's doing so through the illustration of a marriage. First marriage to the old sin nature, when we come into the world at physical birth, from physical birth to the point of salvation, we have a body and a soul, but we're spiritually dead. And not only that, but we are under the rulership of the old sin nature, is the ruler of human life. From physical birth to salvation, we're a slave to the sin nature. In the illustration, the old sin nature is the first husband. The unbeliever is the wife, and the marriage counselor is the Mosaic Law. But then at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, there's a new marriage. Now, through current positional truth, we're entered into union with the Lord Jesus Christ, and now He is our husband as a church age believer. Jesus Christ is the husband. The church age believer is the wife. And now we have a new marriage counselor, an awesome marriage counselor, God, the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Apostle Paul is illustrating here in Romans chapter 7. Now, in Romans 7, verses 4 and 5, there's something else. When you have a marriage, you have children. Well, usually, not always. But in this case, there are children. Children from the first marriage, they're not so great. In fact, they're from the sin nature. The sin nature is horrible. And the children of the sin nature are also horrible. And then, when you believe in Jesus Christ, there are also children. In Romans 7, 4, we have the children of our marriage to Christ. In Romans 7, 5, we have the children of our marriage to the sin nature. Romans 7, 4 sounds like this in corrected translation. Therefore, my brethren, royal family, you also were made to die with reference to the Mosaic Law. That's the marriage counselor of the first marriage, by means of the body of Christ, with the result that you might belong to, be married to another of a different kind, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the one, Jesus Christ, who was raised up from the dead, for the purpose that we might bear fruit for God. Now that word there, bear fruit for God, for the glory of God, is karpophoreo. Very important word. It's used in this verse and then the next one. K-A-R-P-O-P-H-O-R-E, long O. Now, karpophoreo, compound word, karpos is the word for fruit or crops, and phoreo, to bear or to produce fruit, to bear fruit. So literally it means to bear fruit or to produce crops, and bearing fruit refers to the children of our new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're now married to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is emphasizing the children of our new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of our marriage to Jesus Christ is to karpophoreo, to produce fruit. So in our new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ, we produce the fruit of living the spiritual life. God has a plan for us, church-age saints, in this dispensation, a unique spiritual life to live. That spiritual life is a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. So at the moment of our faith in Christ in the church age, we are indwelt by the Spirit. And that indwelling of the Spirit is the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, which is the power to live this unique spiritual life of the church age. And when you live this unique spiritual life of the church age, you will karpophoreo, produce fruit. And that fruit, well, we're by analogy, it's the children of this new marriage. And it's wonderful. So in our new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ, we produce the fruit of living the spiritual life. This includes the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, that's virtue love, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. When you're living your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, this is being produced in you and through you. It has fantastic, visible impact to those around you. Unbelievers, or even believers. Believers who know nothing about the spiritual life or grace or truth or the Word of God, but they believe in Christ as their Savior. And they see something in you. They see that fruit of the Spirit being produced. The children of this new marriage that we have to Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That karpophoreoing, bearing fruit, is also the result of attaining spiritual maturity, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, attaining spiritual maturity, and when you accomplish that, you fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, the reason why we're here. And the reason why we're here is to have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. And when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you will have the great motivational virtue, personal love for God the Father, and that will motivate the great functional virtue, impersonal love for all mankind. And that is the mandate that has been given to us from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, to love one another. Love one another again and again and again. As Jesus Christ loved us with impersonal love for all, so we are commanded to love one another. Impersonal love for all. And when you have that impersonal love, and by the way, we're studying this virtue love on Thursday night, the greatest epistle that teaches the doctrine of virtue love, 1 John. And it's absolutely fantastic. The Apostle John. And he was the one that the Lord Jesus Christ just loved to be with. The Lord Jesus Christ loved to be with John. What was different about John? Now, Peter was kind of a pain in the neck. You know, and he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, you know, how would you like to have that when we get to heaven? You can go up to Peter. "Hey, how'd you like that? Get behind me, Satan." You know, "No, you better not say that, you know." Well, he never said that to John, because John got it. John totally got everything Jesus Christ was teaching. And that's why the epistles of John are so fantastic. And 1 John goes through in great detail the doctrine of virtue love. And when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you will have personal love for God the Father. And that will motivate impersonal love for all. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And when you have that, that is visible impact. That is visible impact in the world. That is visible impact to the unbeliever. That is visible impact to everyone in your periphery. They see that. And It's something that is so rare today because there's so few Christians that have virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. But when you fulfill the ultimate objective for being here and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, then you will love one another. Impersonal love for all mankind. And that is, there's children. There are the children that people see those children, they go, wow, this is something fantastic. And you attain occupation with Jesus Christ. This can only be accomplished by living the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit, and then consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God, so that you execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Ephesians 2:10 says about these children, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, maximum divine good production." The children of our marriage to Jesus Christ. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, maximum divine good production, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This should characterize our life. And then in 1 Corinthians 3:12-14, this is the maximum divine good production described as good silver and precious stones, which at the judgment seat of Christ will be rewarded with fantastic crowns and rewards. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart then is the spiritual seed. The spiritual seed that is planted and brings forth the fruit that glorifies our Lord Jesus Christ. This bearing of fruit is to the glory of God. Therefore, my brethren, royal family, you also were made to die with reference to the Mosaic law, the marriage counselor of the first marriage, by means of the body of Christ, with the result that you might belong to, be married to another of a different kind, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the one, Jesus Christ, who was raised up from the dead for the purpose that we might bear fruit for the glory of God. Now that brings us to Romans chapter 7, verse 5. And in Romans 7, 5, in this verse, we have the children of the first marriage when we were an unbeliever from physical birth to the point of salvation. We have the same verb, the very same verb, carpo phorao, the same verb that we had in Romans 7, 4, that referred to the children of our new marriage to Jesus Christ. In the new marriage to Christ, we produce the fruit of living the spiritual life. But now, in Romans 7, 5, we have the children of our very first marriage, when we were unbelievers, married to the first husband, the sin nature. And the children of the first marriage, well, they were pretty rotten children. Sin, human good, evil, lust from the lust patterns of the sin nature, and related to, associated with thanatos, spiritual death. So verse 5 sounds like this. "For while we were in the flesh, controlled by the sin nature," that is, married to the old sin nature, the first husband, "from physical birth to salvation, the sinful passions, which by the law," the Mosaic law, as the marriage counselor of our first marriage, "were at work in the members of our body, resulting in the carpo phorao, the production of fruit associated with spiritual death. from physical birth to salvation, we are in spiritual death. We are a slave to the old sin nature as the ruler of human life, and the children are the children, the result of our status of spiritual death. So, one, the first marriage goes from physical birth to regeneration, faith in Christ. The first marriage goes from physical birth to regeneration, faith in Christ. See, this is all by, Paul is illustrating what he taught in chapter 6. Now he's illustrating it in chapter 7. The first marriage goes from physical birth to regeneration, faith in Christ. Two, the wife of the first marriage is the unbeliever. The husband of the first marriage is the sin nature. And the marriage counselor of the first marriage is the Mosaic law. So the first marriage goes from physical birth to faith in Christ. The wife of the first marriage, unbeliever. Husband, first marriage, sin nature. Marriage counselor of the first marriage, Mosaic law. Three, this marriage produced children as well. Karpophoroi. This marriage produced children too. The sin nature has trans. Sin, human good and evil. All of that was produced by us. Sin, human good and evil. The sin nature has lust patterns. And we operated under the lust patterns of our sin nature as unbelievers. The sin nature is arrogant, made up of all types of arrogance. Cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance. And cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. So the children of this first marriage, sin, human good, evil, lust from the lust patterns, arrogance from interlocking systems of arrogance, hatred and antagonism from interlocking systems of hatred. Four, the marriage counselor, the Mosaic law, advises the unbeliever that you have a bad marriage. And he also says, and your children aren't great either. The marriage counselor, the Mosaic law, advises the unbeliever, you have a bad marriage and your children are not great either. Turn over to Romans 3. Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 20. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. There is no justification by works. It's justification by faith. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the Mosaic law comes the knowledge of sin. Hey, you got a problem. That's the purpose of the Mosaic law as the marriage counselor of the unbeliever, to point out that you have a problem. You have a bad marriage. And you're enslaved to the sin nature. Your children are sin, human good and evil. You're in the status of spiritual death. And you need to change. There has to be a change. Turn over to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. First Timothy 1. Let's start at verse 8. We know that the law, this is the Mosaic law, it doesn't say good. I don't know, my translation had good here. Here is good. That's good. Agathos. A-G-A-T-H-O-S. Agathos. We don't have Agathos. We have Kalos. Ha-ha. K-A-L-O-S. Kalos. Kalos means based on virtue, based on honor, based on integrity. We know that the law is kalos. It's based on virtue, honor, and integrity. There's nothing wrong with the Mosaic law. There's nothing wrong with the first marriage counselor. It came from God. It is from God. It's perfect. And it's based on virtue, honor, and integrity. So we know that the Mosaic law is kalos, if one uses it properly. And we also know that the Mosaic law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers. I hope so. I mean, not that I hope so you kill your father and mother. Who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers. And the translation I have here is pervert. It's the Greek word arsenokoietes. And that is a homosexuals and lesbianism. For slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. That's the purpose of the Mosaic Law. So the marriage counselor, the Mosaic Law, advises the unbeliever that you have a bad marriage. And your children are not great either. 5. The old sin nature's trend towards sin is what's being emphasized here, because sin was solved at the cross. God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, imputed them to Christ on the cross, and then he judged the sins once and for all, so that now anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life, eternal salvation. So the old sin nature trend toward sin is what's being emphasized here, because sin was solved at the cross. 6, the Lord Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin by his salvation work on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin by his salvation work on the cross. 7. As the marriage counselor, the Mosaic Law declares to the unbeliever, you have a bad marriage. Now, the Mosaic Law is not a promoter of that first marriage, and the Mosaic Law does not sanction that first marriage. The Mosaic Law simply declares to the unbeliever, you have a bad marriage. You're married to the sin nature. 8. The Mosaic Law simply says that you have a bad marriage. That's Codex number 1, the commandments. And then the Mosaic Law states the solution, Jesus Christ, Codex number 2, with Christology and soteriology. 9. The Mosaic Law is a perfect marriage counselor for the unbeliever. The perfect marriage counselor for the unbeliever. Ten. The Mosaic Law is from God, and therefore the Mosaic Law is perfect. Nothing wrong with the Mosaic Law. It's from God. It's perfect. The perfect marriage counselor for the unbeliever. 11. The Mosaic Law demonstrates the problem and the solution. So the first marriage, when we were unbelievers, is all wrong, but the marriage counselor, the Mosaic Law, is perfect. All right. Now that brings us to verse 6, because that follows 5. Deep point. But now we are delivered from the law. This is the post-positive conjunction de with the adverb nuni plus the aorist passive indicative of katargao plus the prepositional phrase apa with the genitive singular of namas with the definite article. The post-positive conjunction de. D-E. And de is the used as a conjunction of contrast, correctly translated but. And it sets up a contrast between, one, between the first marriage to the sin nature with the second marriage, the Lord Jesus Christ. It sets up a contrast between the sin nature with Jesus Christ, the two husbands. It sets up a contrast between the Mosaic Law and God the Holy Spirit, the two marriage counselors. It sets up a contrast between the children of the first marriage, the carpo phoreo of the first marriage, and the children of the second marriage, the carpo phoreo of the marriage to Jesus Christ. And then we have an adverb of time. An adverb of time, N-U-N-I. Nuni. It's an adverb of time, translated now, but now. But now refers to salvation and current positional truth, being in union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. We are now in the second marriage. We are now married to the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, we are now married to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, katargao. K-A-T-A-R-G-E, long O, katargao. Katargeo means to make ineffective, to be powerless, to abolish, to set aside. Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 418, says, katargeo also means to be released from an association with someone or something. To be released from an association with someone or something, it means to have nothing more to do with. As a result of salvation, as a result of faith in Jesus Christ, we have been katargeo'd, released apa tu namu. From the Mosaic Law. The preposition apa is the preposition of separation. Apa means separation from someone or something. It means away from. It means separated from. And then namas, well, that's our friend, the Mosaic Law, the marriage counselor of the first marriage. So the corrected translation, but now we have been released from the law, the Mosaic Law, the marriage counselor of the first marriage. We have a new marriage counselor, God the Holy Spirit, after salvation, faith in Christ. So the first marriage existed from physical birth to salvation, faith in Christ. The husband of the first marriage, the sin nature. The wife of the first marriage, the unbeliever. The marriage counselor of the first marriage, the Mosaic law. At salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. The husband of the second marriage is the Lord Jesus Christ. The wife of the second marriage, the church-age believer. The marriage counselor of the second marriage, the new marriage, God the Holy Spirit. So, one, at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the church-age believer has been released from the Mosaic law as the marriage counselor. At salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the church-age believer has been released from the Mosaic law as the marriage counselor. That's our verse, Romans 7, verse 6. But now we have been released from the Mosaic law, the marriage counselor of the first marriage. Romans 7, 6. And be repeated again by Paul in Romans 10. We get up to chapter 10. That'll probably be next week. Oh, I'm glad you got a sense of humor. God has a great sense of humor. I know He has a great sense of humor. He gave me the gift of pastor teacher. See, He has a really great sense of humor. Romans 10. Verse 4. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. So at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the church-age believer has been released from the Mosaic law as the marriage counselor. Two, so the Mosaic law is no longer our marriage counselor. The Mosaic law is no longer the marriage counselor of the church-age believer in our marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, we have a far, far greater marriage counselor. The omnipotent God, God the Holy Spirit. Now the Mosaic Law is fantastic, it came from God, but the Mosaic Law is not omnipotent and is not God. But our marriage counselor now is God, God the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. So we have a far, far greater marriage counselor, God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is now our marriage counselor. The Mosaic Law counseled the unbeliever that he has a very bad marriage to the sin nature, the first husband. With its trends of sin, human good and evil. Codex number one. We have a problem, spiritual death. And the Mosaic Law points us to the solution, revealing Christ through Christology and soteriology. Codex number two. But four, once man believes in Jesus Christ, the Mosaic Law can do nothing more as a marriage counselor. Once an individual believes in Jesus Christ, the Mosaic Law can do nothing more as a marriage counselor. Now, God has given us a new marriage counselor, God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, because He's given us in this dispensation something totally unique. A unique spiritual life. The very first person who ever lived this spiritual life, Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, the first advent. And then He passed it on to us, the royal family of God. That unique spiritual life. for the church age, which is a supernatural way of life and demands supernatural power to live it. And that supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. Now, I know you all know Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Some of you read that, keep on being filled with the Spirit, and you go to the bar. See? That's where Jones goes, you know. That's kaput, that's over, that's done, that's in the past, until after class. Play Ra'o. P-L long E-R-O long O. Now, it does mean to fill or to fulfill, but it was used in the ancient world of wind that would fill the sails of a ship and empower it through the water. And that's the way it's used. Keep on being filled with the Spirit means keep on being empowered, empowered in your life by God, the Holy Spirit. So we have been given the third person of the Trinity as the divine power to live this unique spiritual life. And when you live the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God, that's the best. That's the best of the best. You grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You attain spiritual maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. The fruit of the Spirit is being manifested in your life. God's love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. You love one another with impersonal love for all mankind as a result of the fruit of the Spirit. So once the individual believes in Jesus Christ, the Mosaic Law can do nothing more as our marriage counselor. Now our marriage counselor is God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. How great is that? And we're indwelt by the Spirit so that we can be as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And that's how you, well, when you are there, I don't care what, where you are, what you're doing. You enjoy Jesus Christ every moment of every day. He's made himself at home in your heart. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You have inner happiness no matter what's going on in the world. And there's a lot of evil going on in the world. No matter what's going on in America, there's a lot of evil and degeneracy going on in America. No matter what's going on at work, no matter what's going on in your marriage, no matter what's going on in your family, you share the happiness of God. The other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is sharing the happiness of God. You have that inner peace which transcends all human understanding. That's the best. But now we have been released from the Mosaic Law, the marriage counselor of the first marriage. All right. We'll take a break here. Come back. See the second half of verse 6 here.